أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا فمن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين صدق الله العظيم We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the rejected shaitan. With the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most gracious, the most merciful. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds. The praise and thanks belongs to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We praise Him. We seek His help. We beg Him for His forgiveness. We believe in Him and we put our trust and faith in Him and in Him alone. We seek refuge with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evil of our souls and the evil of our deeds. For he that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none that can lead him astray. And he whom Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leaves astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness to give open testimony that there is no God except Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. He is without partners and associates. And I bear witness to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his slave and his messenger, the seal of all prophets, the last of all messengers. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Holy Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as you should take heed of him and do not die unless you are Muslim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and speak the truth. He will direct you to do good righteous deeds and he will forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger, then he has already achieved the greatest achievement. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, take heed of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wa kunu ma'a sadiqeen, and be with those who are truthful in their words and their deeds. Surely Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks the truth. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صلى الله عليه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says,
هو الذي يريكم البرق خوفا وطمعا وينشئ السحاب الثقال
And it is he who shows you البرق the lightning as a means to instill fear as well as a means to give hope. And it is he who brings and raises the heavy clouds. This is in Surah Al-Ra'd. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ And from among his signs is that he shows you al-barq, the lightning. By way of fear and hope. And he sends down the rain from the sky. Therewith he revives the earth after its death. Surely in that are indeed signs for a people who understand. Or rather who have intellect. Ya'qilun. Ya'qilun is from Aql. This is indeed for those who have, or rather, use the faculty of their intellect.
Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَيُسَبِّحُ الرَّعْدُ بِحَمْدِهِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ خِيفَتِهِ.
And the Ra'd glorifies and praises him, as well do the angels out of fear of him. And he sends the thunderbolts, therewith he strikes down whom he wills, yet the disbelievers dispute about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he is mighty in strength, shadidul iqab, severe in punishment. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed the human being to evolve in his understanding and granted him the trust of the intellect. Thus, through observation and calculation, we now have the tools to measure, among other things, the weather and plot the course of the clouds. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of his mercy, has revealed some of the mechanics and mechanisms behind the administration of some of his kingdom. Again, he has revealed this out of his rahmah, his mercy, and allowed us to gain better understanding. Just as we recently observed Superstorm Sandy on the East Coast, and how that demonstrates that in the very recent past, before the blessing of satellites, people living in that self-same region, not very long ago, were hit by a similar storm and were nearly wiped out by the thousands. Why? Because they didn't see it coming. So the advancement of technology, simply regarding the ability of being able to forecast the weather, is a testament to the mercy of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon his creatures. However, just because we've been blessed to know the mechanics of his command does not mean that the mechanics negate his command. Meaning that, okay, we know how it works, so therefore there's no mystery to it. It's natural, as they say. Isn't nature marvelous, they say. Some scientists assert that man created God as a way to explain what he didn't understand. Thus, science, for them, is the liberator of man from the shackles of primitive magical thinking. And thus, for them, once you know the how, God is not a factor. Take, for example, one of the heroes of modern physics, Stephen Hawking. Those of you who are not familiar with him by name will recognize him as the scientist who can only communicate via a computer that converts his eye movements into speech. After stating what he observed of the mechanics behind the formation of the universe, he said, quote, "They," meaning nature's laws of physics, "tell us that here too, time itself must come to a stop. You can't get to a time before the Big Bang because there was no before the Big Bang. We have finally found something that doesn't have a cause.
because there was no time for a cause to exist in. For me, this means that there is no possibility of a creator, because there is no time for a creator to have existed. Since time itself began at the moment of the Big Bang, it was an event that could not have been caused or created by anyone or anything. So when people ask me, quote, if a God created the universe, I tell them that the question itself makes no sense. Time didn't exist before the Big Bang, so there is no time for God to make the universe within. It's like asking for directions to the edge of the earth. The earth is a sphere. It doesn't have an edge. So looking for it is a futile exercise. We are each free to believe what we want, and it is my view that the simplest explanation is there is no God. No one created the universe, and no one directs our fate. This leads me to a profound realization: there is probably no heaven and no afterlife either. Allah says, "Summun bukmun umyun, fahum la yarji'un." They are deaf, dumb, and blind, and they will not return. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, everything that changes points to a creator, because it has a beginning and an end. That there was a time in which it did not exist, and there will be a time which it will no longer exist. That change in and of itself points to that which is infinite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, "Ana ad-dahr, I am time." This is what he says. And so therefore, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we have to realize, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says about in his book, he tells us that here is man. And he makes for us, ضَرَبَ لَنَا, he makes for us parables. وَنَسِيَ خَلْقِهِ, and he forgets his own creation. You are a nutfa. Nobody even saw you. Okay, you 10 feet tall now, but you used to be something somebody would wipe off their hands and frown at. Ugh. أَفَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا تُمْنُونَ, do you see what you throw out? أَأَنْتُمْ تَخْلُقُونَهُ أَمْ نَحْنُ الْخَالِقُونَ, did you create it? Or did we create it? So dear Muslim brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, these are signs for those who yaqilun, use the faculty of their intellect. And he asks us, afala ta'qilun, don't you use the brain I gave you? Don't you use the intellect I gave you? Look at him, crumpled up in a wheelchair. For me, therefore, there is no God. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ, all of that, and you cannot see. سُمٌّ بُكْمٌ عُمْيٌ فَهُمْ لَا يَرْجِعُونَ. Something that we take for granted, inshallah ta'ala, which is the focus of this khutbah today: the conductor of the clouds. We take for granted the barq, the lightning, and the ra'd. And if we listen to the pontifications of the pundits like this, think they got it all figured out, then we would miss the sign. We would be blind and not understand what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put here again, min rahmatih, from His mercy. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, we may know the mechanics now that yes, we get lightning and thunder when you have two clouds that have a different charge. And just as any of you have ever tried to jump your car with a battery and you have the cables, you know, white, red, and black, and you touch them, pow, you get a spark. Well, that's because one has a positive, one has a negative charge. Same as in the heavens. One cloud has a positive, one has a negative charge. They come together, bang, you get lightning and thunder. Okay, so we know the mechanics. But do we understand, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that as a Muslim, we never remove Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His qadr, from His command. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. Nothing happens without Him decreeing it. As He says in His book, not a leaf falls off a tree without Him knowing it, without Him giving it His permission. This is His mulk in His malakut. And the Muslim is one who does not close his eyes or his ears or his thinking to the signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts before us to grow our intellect and strengthen our faith. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, again, we know the mechanics, but I'm going to bring something to your attention. As we know, this is a sphere, a closed habitat. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us, even now, look at how He's evolved our understanding. We sent a rover to Mars. Waited to cross that vast distance between us and that planet. Something that in the past, at least for our knowledge, for the human being, it wasn't possible. And they dig and dug and dug and they say, hey, there's some water up here. Wow, it's some amino acids. For those of you scientists, it's a very key building block. But there's no atmosphere. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us the duality of things. Yes, it's near. Yes, it may have had water long ago, but ain't no atmosphere. So by having this closed habitat, which is an atmosphere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to observe cycles. In that the water Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put here, the sun heats it, it evaporates, it goes up, it goes as high as it can, condenses, makes clouds, and then comes back down. That is a process, part of the recycling process that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us to know about water. But that does not include al-baruk, warad. We go out here, we have our lawns, we throw water on the lawn, and it looks okay. But let the baruk and the rad, the thunder and lightning come. And it gets dark. Why does it get dark? Because if it didn't get dark, the water would boil the grass and the trees. So He shades it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends that heavy rain. Boom! Here comes the thunder. Why does it thunder? Ah, we'll get to that. And what's the lightning for? oh, it's just lightning. No. Let me explain something to you. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us, we take it completely for granted. May run from it. Oh, it's lightning. Get away from the windows. Turn off your computers. Yeah. Fear. And rightly so. You know, we hear about somebody getting struck by lightning. Man, and he survived. Or he didn't. But let me remind you, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, that the element of lightning is critical. You remember not long ago, China had a drought. And they thought themselves, you know, to be mad scientists. Oh, we know what to do. We sent some stuff up in there. And they went, got some chemicals, and seeded the clouds. And waited. And their calculations was, oh, we put this in the clouds. We can make it rain. We'll get some rain. Throw that in the clouds. And it rained. A blizzard. It's a fact. Snow they had never seen in their life shut the whole place down. And they didn't get any benefit. And you, not too long ago, last summer, these Catholics who are out here, you know, trumpeting the trumpet of the Sodomites, they sure did turn to all the masjids, churches, and everybody else. Please pray for rain. Please, we need rain. Pray for rain. Because they know. If it ain't coming from God, you can forget it. So again, lightning. By it not being present, even if it does rain, the vegetation is not robust. Why? This element that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts into the atmosphere. We have in the air nitrogen. And we breathe in nitrogen. And we exhale nitrogen, but we don't benefit from it. But with the element of lightning, that strong, powerful force, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of volts, boom, doing two things. Splitting the nitrogen atom. Yes. And allowing it to bond with other molecules in the atmosphere and bind with the rain to create nitrates that we would not be able to get otherwise. And those nitrates hit the earth. Bam! And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says He cleans the earth with it. Also, the heat of the lightning creates the atmosphere for the H2O to become H2O2. Hydrogen peroxide. And fall to the earth and clean the soil for us. So it cleans the earth, revives it, as he said, revives it. Ba'da mawtiha, he says it. It revives the earth, brings it back to life after its death. And therewith, that nitrate that falls from the heaven by the fact of lightning being present, creating that nitrate, eats that nitrate and creates protein that we need when we eat for our cows and ourselves. Al-barq, take it for granted. But look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you. It's over your head. You think, oh, you're going to think nothing of it but run. Get from under the tree. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you, if He didn't have this, you would starve. Subhanalladhi khalaqal azwaja kullaha. Subhanallah, the one who created everything in pairs. Subhanallah al-azim. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah alladhi nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina faman yahdihillah fala mudilla lah wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lah. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو الخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you, as I remind myself, that the Muslim, he is always searching for the example of his Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That his mantra is, what would Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam do? And so we have etiquettes with regards to this event, the thunder and the lightning. Imam Ja'far al-Baqir, may Allah be pleased with him, he said, "As-sawa'iq," these events, the storm that produces fear, that produces thunder and lightning. He says it could strike the Muslim or it could strike the non-Muslim. But it will never, ever strike those who are in constant remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Dhakireen. It will never strike them. So right away, you should be, how do I protect myself from that? That's right. That should be your next question. And thus we should need to ask, what would Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do? He said that when you hear the lightning and the thunder, or you hear the thunder rather, and you see the lightning, you should say, Allahumma, la taqtuluna bi-ghadabika, or bi-ghadabik, wa la tuhlikna bi-'adhabik, wa 'afina qabla dhalik. O Allah, do not kill us by your wrath. And do not destroy us with your punishment. But instead, pardon us before that. Again, I remind you as I remind myself. Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father. And upon them be peace. Said, whoever hears thunder and he says, Subhanalladhi yusabbihu ar-ra'du bihamdihi wal malaikatu bin khifati wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Glory belongs to the one whom the thunder declares his praise and whom the angels fear, and nothing escapes his decree. If any harm should afflict him due to him saying this from the lightning or the thunder, then he can blame me on the day of judgment. That means saying this saves you from any evil effects that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for who? For those who ain't remembering him. Boom! Oh, you forgot me. Bam! Maybe now you remember. But those who remember it, as Imam Ja'far, he said, you're safe from that. Look at the rahmah in al-dhakirin, in remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being among the dhakirin. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you, as I remind myself, as Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he reports that your cousins came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yeah, you know who your cousins are. Your cousins. They came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they tried to challenge him in his knowledge. They asked him, "Who is Ar-Ra'd?" Maybe, no, let's pause here. Maybe some of you honestly don't know. And that's no, there's no shame in not knowing. The shame comes when you don't ask. Ar-Ra'd is a surah in the Holy Quran. Chapter 13. And in Arabic, the language, it means the thunder. That's the normal translation of this word. But here are the Jews, they're coming to ask, who is Ar-Ra'd? So if you normally, any one of us, if you were to be asked that, who is Ar-Ra'd? Who is the thunder? Well, the thunder is the thunder, right? Thunder is thunder. And then you go into your scientific explanation. You see, when the two clouds come together and they produce the electricity, that's what you would say. And there's a sound wave and all that. That's the thunder. That's not what Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. He replied to them, Ar-Ra'd is an angel from the angels of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he placed in charge of the clouds. He has a device like a hose that has a type of fire. And with this, he uses the fire within this hose to drive the clouds. By spraying it upon them, and they move and they herd in the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded for them to go. Then they ask, well, what is the sound that we hear? They didn't ask him, what is that thunder? They asked first, who is it? And then what's the sound? And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, that is the sound from the trumpet that the clouds blow. Other reports say that what we hear is the voice of Ar-Ra'd himself stopping the clouds, and that it means its actual meaning, the word in itself, that SubhanAllah, you can't even put it into words. Somebody, you told somebody that never heard thunder, oh, that's thunder. If they never heard it, you couldn't explain it. You couldn't drop anything heavy enough to make that sound. But as soon as they hear it, oh, what's that? Ah, now you know what thunder is. And that's the praising, his making a tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's how it sounds coming out of his mouth. Boom.
SubhanAllah. SubhanAllah.
Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, you should know that the clouds are soldiers in the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, he says, remember, when he covered you with a slumber as a security from him, and he caused water to descend on you from the sky to clean you therewith and to remove from you the rijs, the whispers of the shaitan, and to strengthen your hearts and to make you feel firm thereby. This, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, this is the ni'mah of the rain. Now, this is the last Friday in this month of March. So it behooves us to give you some information, and forgive me if it may take a few minutes past 2 o'clock. But you'll appreciate it, because Monday is the 1st of April. Now, why are we talking about this? See, it's one more thing that we didn't mention about that rain. When this is deep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that in the soil for the plants, there is bacteria. We've come to learn that later. That it contains spores that blow, you know, when the winds blow, it contains spores and this gets into the earth. If you don't know, talk to some people who survived tornadoes. And you're like, what? Why tornadoes? Listen. That in the tornado itself, the wind blows up the earth, the soil. And then if you get hit with that wind, it pounds the bacteria of the soil into your skin and you get a disease that they can't barely cure. And it's specifically from being caught in a tornado. Because that stuff, that bacteria, you usually wouldn't come into contact with it. So, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sends the, as it's mentioned in the Holy Quran, the fecunding rain, the rain that revives the earth, in that rain is an insecticide and an antibacterial substance that is created again with lightning. And when it hits the earth, it kills that bacteria. And you notice, only after a heavy rain, you see like the grass ain't never had rain before, it just sprouts up, ooh, like, you know, bam. And the leaves, they get all bright and lush. And that particular rain, that insecticide, lasts exactly 1 year. Pesticide, rather. Bacterial, antibacterial. It only lasts 1 year. And so the rubric or the saying, you know, April showers bring May flowers. That's true. So let's see about the hadith about April. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as reported by Umar radiallahu anhu, he said we were sitting with, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came in upon us and greeted us, and he said, "Shall I teach you a remedy?" Which Jibreel alayhi salam taught me. One which does not require any medicine from any physician. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu an, and Salman al-Farsi radiallahu an, and others, they said, "What is this remedy, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to Imam Ali radiallahu anhu, and he said, "Take some water during April's rain," meaning the rain water in April. "Recite over it Suratul Fatiha, Ayatul Kursi," chapter 2, verse 255, "Suratul Ikhlas, and Suratul Nas, and Suratul Kafirun, 70 times each." Some reports add Suratul Qadr, Laylatul Qadr. "Then say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, and say, O Allah," send prayers and blessings upon Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. "Drink the water afterwards, in the morning and in the evening, for 7 days straight." So every day, you do this. Over this water, for 7 days straight. "By the one who has sent me with the truth as a prophet, Jibreel alayhi salam, he said, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove from anyone who drinks this water every ailment in his body, and will bless him with health, and will remove any ailment in his veins, in his body, in his bones, and in all parts of his limbs, and wipe it out. By the one who sent me as a truth, sorry, sent me with the truth as a prophet, if he does not have offspring, and he wishes to have a son, and he drinks of that water, he will have a son. If a woman is sterile and she drank of that water, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless her to have a child. And if a man is impotent and he drinks of this water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove his difficulty and will enable him to cohabit. And if the woman became pregnant and she wished that she could give birth to a son or a daughter, she will give birth to what she wishes. The proof of this is in the ayah of the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or he bestows both males and females, and he leaves barren whom he will, for he is full of knowledge and power. He continued, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if one has a headache and he drinks of that water, his headache will be removed by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he has an ailment in his eyes, let him drop a few drops of the water in his eyes, drink of it and wash his eyes with it, and so he will be healed by the will of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also strengthens the roots of the teeth, improves the smell of the mouth, helps the roots of the teeth against leakage, stops any phlegm, removes indigestion due to overeating, shields one against being hurt by a blasting wind, heals hemiphilia, back pain, removes other causes of indigestion, removes cold pains, toothaches, stomach aches, stomach worms, and colic ailments, enables one not to require any bloodletting, and shields him against tumors, itching, smallpox, insanity, leprosy, nosebleeds, and vomiting. He will not become blind, deaf, nor dumb, nor will he suffer from being crippled, nor will he suffer from the black water during his entering his eyes, meaning cataracts. Nor will it spoil his fast or prayers. It will not be affected by the instigations of the jinn or the shayateen. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued. He said, Jibreel told me, whoever drinks that water and is complaining of the pains to which humans are prone, it is a medicine for all pain. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I asked Jibreel alayhi salam, will it be beneficial in other pains that you have not mentioned? And Jibreel alayhi salam replied, by the one who sent you with the truth as a prophet, whoever recites these verses on that water, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill his heart with light and enlightenment. And he will place inspiration in his heart and make his tongue utter wisdom and his heart to be filled with understanding and insight. He will give what he has not given anyone else in the world, and will send down 1,000 forgivenesses and 1,000 blessings upon him. And he will remove cheating, treachery, backbiting, jealousy, injustice, arrogance, miserliness and niggardliness, rage, enmity, animosity, and the causing of feuds among people. It is a remedy for every ailment. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I remind you, as I remind myself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that this Quran is a healing and a cure and a mercy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only advises us for our own benefit. And so with that, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, I advise you and remind you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he commanded Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةٍ لِيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Take from their wealth the sadaqah in order to purify them. Dear Muslim brothers and sisters, all of us hope for an abundant provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he promises that to the one who is always giving back to him. La in shakartum la azidannakum. Please, dear Muslim brothers and sisters, cleanse your wealth in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Be generous, inshallah ta'ala. Allah has blessed you to hear something to benefit yourselves. Show your appreciation by helping to sustain His house. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله ولي ولكم أستغفر الله إن الله غفور رحيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل وإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر وبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون وأقيموا الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر.